Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Tzaddi. Today's daf is being studied by Ailu Nishmat Yosef Ben Simcha Sheneftar Bekitzur Yamin Veshanim, dedicated by his brother Jerry Harari and family. Today's daf is being studied by Ailu Nishmat Hakam Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanichem began Eden, Amen. We are starting on Petet Amud Sheni at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins, Hamotzi Etzim Kedeh Lebashel Betza Kala. We continue to talk about the different items that if one carries them on Shabbat, he's going to be Hayav. But as we learned, they must have a significant shi'ur to be considered hayav. So the Mishnah tells us, the significant shi'ur of wood, if one would carry it on Shabbat, is enough wood that would take to fuel the cooking of literally a light egg. Already we explained this in the previous Gemariot, was talking about an egg from a hen that cooks at a very fast pace. We said cooking it on a skillet with a little oil, and we said that the shi'ud is not to cook the full egg. The shi'ud is to cook a gerogeret size of that egg. Since the shi'ud of food on Shabbat is the shi'ud of gerogeret, so therefore the amount of wood would be in order to cook a gerogeret size of a betzah kala. Not you have to cook the entire egg. Gerogeret, we said, is a fig, the size of a fig. Comes the Mishnah and continues, tevalin, that would be considered spices, kedeh letabel betzah kala. The amount of spices that it would take to spice a light egg, that's the same egg that we were referring to right in the case before. Umitztarfim ze im ze. And different spices are able to combine with each other in order to get to the significant shi'ur. Kelipe egozin, kelipe remonim. Estis upua, kedeh litzboa bahem, beget katan, pi sabacha. Kelipe egozim is the shells from nuts, from the egos, from the walnut. Rashi tells us that this is not the hard shell of it, but this is the soft shell that grows around the walnut when it's still moist. Kelipe remonim would be the peel of the pomegranate. Estis upua, a different type of herbs. All these things have the common denominator that they used in making dyes in order to paint something. So the shi'ud of these items on Shabbat would be kedeh litzboa bahem, enough to make paint in order to dye beged katan pi sabacha, the small piece of material that is on the sabacha. Sabacha used to be the type of hat or the net that the ladies would wear on their heads. And on top of the sabacha, there was a little cloth. So the amount of these items to carry on Shabbat to be hayav is going to be enough to make dye, enough to paint or dye or color that small little piece of cloth on a lady's hat. That would be considered a significant shi'ur. Comes the Mishnah and continues, Meraglayim neter uborit. Kamulya ve'ashleg kedeh lechabez beged katan pi sabacha. Meraglayim literally means urine. Neter uborit, kamulya ve'ashleg, these are all different type of detergents that are used as cleaning agents. The Gemara will explain each one. There is a different girsah in our Mishnah. The word kamulya, some have the word kamonya, which is maybe where they got the modern word ammonia, which is also used as a detergent.
In the Dead Sea, by the way.
In any event, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the shi'ur of these detergents are kedeh lechabes beged katan pisa bachad. The amount to wash, again, that small garment that is on the lady's hat, is in order to wash a small garment. The biyu daomer kedeh lehaavir et haketem. The Gemara Nida tells us that if there's a certain blood stain on a garment, let's say of a lady that's a nida, so that garment obviously is tameh, and one has to dip that garment in the mikveh. However, so long as the stain is on the garment, even though it dried up, it is not able to dip it in the mikveh. It's not yet susceptible to tahara. The only way to dip it in the mikveh is you have to clean it first. So these items are able to take out blood stains out of garments. So the shi'ur of these items, Rabbi Yehuda says, is the amount that you place on a blood stain in order to remove it. So again, the common denominator between this Mishnah as well as the previous Mishnah that we learned in the earlier Perakim is, in order to be hayav on Shabbat, if you carry something, it has to have a significant shi'ur. I must point out again, the only time you're going to be hayav chatat is if a person was shogeg, meaning he carried these items inadvertently, meaning either he did not know that it was Shabbat, or he did not know that it is forbidden to carry, so then it would be hayav a korban hatat. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanina chada zimna. The first case of our Mishnah is, if a person carries wood on Shabbat, the shiur of wood is the amount of fuel, the cooking of a light egg. So the Gemara says, we learned that already. This exists, almost exact case was in a previous Mishnah. Why wouldn't it say? Kaneh, if a person is carrying reeds on Shabbat, what's the shiur? Kedeh la'asot kulmus. So the reed, the shiur, is the amount to make a quill. That would be considered a significant shiur. Imayav or mirusas, but if the reed was thick, or it was cracked, thereby not being suitable to make a quill out of it, so then the significant shiur was, kedeh lebashen betza kalash bebetzim terufa venetuna beilfas. The Mishnah said the amount of reeds that it would take to fuel the fire to make a light egg when it is beaten, when it is already beaten before you place it in the infas and putting it in a skillet, a pan. So why do you have to repeat the same item? So the Gemara says, I would have thought, I would say, yeah, that's by reeds. And by reeds, there's no other usage for them but to fuel for food. But when it comes to wood, the hazu lechachad aklida, wood you could use as a tooth for a key. Because they would make the keys in the olden days out of wood, and the teeth of the key were made out of little pieces of wood. So therefore, I would say afilu kolshu. I might say that the significant shi'ur for wood would be much smaller, because wood has other usages, and therefore I might say the shiur is even the size of a piece of wood to make a tooth for a key, which is much less than the amount of fuel to cook an egg. Kamash ma'alan. So Amistad comes and teaches us, no, this shiur is going to be the size, the amount of fuel, the egg. So the chidush is, mefarshim point out, the Ritva says, Pirush, Kamash Ma'alan, I'm reading from the Ritva, the Kevan distam esim lesekam omdim. Right? The prevalent usage for wood is to fuel things. The non-prevalent use is to use it for a tooth of a key. We learned early in the Masechet that according to the opinion of the rabbis, when you have a prevalent use of an item and a non-prevalent use, you go with the prevalent use even if it's going to be lenient, even the kula. In this case over here, the prevalent use is what? Fuel. Even though it's a larger measurement, and then that's a leniency because they, you know, you're not going to be hayav until you carry more. So they would do rule what was shchiha velo shchiha. You go with the shchiha nekuda. So that's the chidush of the Mishnah. What you don't go with the smallest shiur of a tooth of a key. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tevalin kedei letabel betza kala. The shiur of spices on Shabbat to be hayav is the amount that it would take to spice the egg. Urminu, we have a contradiction. Tevalim shenayim u'shlosha shemot mimin echad o mishlosha minim asurim u'mistarfim ze'im ze'. The writer they quote over here is, let's say you have different types of tevalim, different type of spices. Either they are, let's say, three different names of spices, even though they're from the same species. That she gives us an example of that. He says, pilpel lavan shachor ve'aruch. For example, you have white pepper, black pepper, and then what he calls long pepper. They're three different spices, but they're from the same item. Or let's say mimineha, or mishlosha minim. Or you have three different spices from different species. So we're talking about that they are made from isur, which is these spices are intrinsically isur. For example, kedem, they were planted in a field that the seeds were next to each other, and therefore it's considered a mixture, and therefore these spices are asur from the Torah. Now let's say you took three of them and you spiced a food with it, you mixed them together, so it says asurim, obviously they're all forbidden, right? That she says, v'hem shel isur asur im tibnu b'eret ha-kedera. Right, they come asur, and you're not allowed to spice the food with it. U'mitztarfim ze'im ze'. And furthermore, you're able to combine different spices with each other to get to the significant shi'ur of isur, that she says on the bottom, u'mitztarfim le'tablaim, em b'chol ahad kedei le'tabel. Let's say each one does not have the significant shiur of whatever the shiur is of spicing is. So you're able to combine the spices, just like our Mishnah said, you can combine different spices for the shiur of Shabbat. However, the question comes from the next statement. Ve'amar Hizkiyah taught, b'mine metika shanu. We're talking about over here that the only types of spices that combine are spices that are compatible with each other, that will give a flavor to the food. You know, certain spices, if you combine them together, might make the food worse. So the Gemara is saying over here, it's got to be minim metika, only items that serve as sweeteners. Because mixing these different combinations of spices, since they have the potential to sweeten a pot of food, because they are compatible, as I said, then they're going to be hayav. Whereas our Mishnah did not make any condition as such. Our Mishnah just said, all spices combined. It sounds like even if the spices that you're combining would give the eggs, let's say, a bad taste, still those spices would be considered significant shi'ur. So the Gemara is asking you a question. From this braita, you see what? It has to be only spices that are able to give a good flavor to the food. So the Gemara says, Tama dehazu lematek. The only reason why we said that you can mitztaref spices in this braita is because they're worthy to be sweeten a food. If a kedera hala machelo, but if they don't, then you cannot mitztaref. So now Mishnah did not make a difference. Gemara says, simple answer, hachaname hazun matek. You're right. Our Mishnah is only talking about spices that are compatible with each other, that are able to give a good flavor to the eggs, for example. And therefore, those spices can, instead of you have different spices together, so they can join to the significant shiur to be hayav on Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and continues. Kelipe egozim, the kelipe rimonim, stis upua. As we said, all these items are used to make dyes. So the amount we said is in order to paint, the small garment, the shi'ur of the small garment that's worn on the lady's hat. It would mean we have a contradiction. Hamotzi sammanim shiruhim. The person takes out on Shabbat, let's say, herbs that were soaked already, which means they were already made into a dye, which is another way of saying, let's say, paint. He's taking out on Shabbat. What's the shi'ud of significance? Kedelitzboa bahem dugma le'ira. We said the shi'ud of taking out these herbs that have been soaked is enough in order to dye a small dugma. Dugma is, let's say, a swatch. The dyers used to have small little swatches of different colors of paint that they used to show the customer. Do they want this color or do you want that color? And the Gemara says these swatches were so small that they were able to also be used, let's say the size of it, I should say, to be able to use the stuff, the ira. It has like the spool of thread that they would use, and they would want to stuff sometimes that little hole in order that the thread doesn't unravel. So you see over here, it's a very small size when it comes to dye. Our Mishnah said a bigger size. The amount that it takes to dye the significant cloth on top of the lady's hat, whereas this statement is saying even if it's much smaller. So how does the Gemara reconcile? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Abu, Lefi She'en Adam Toreach Lishrot Sammanim Litzboa Bahem Dugma Le'ira. Which means we're talking at different stages. If you have the paint already, then already the shiur is going to be the amount to dye a small swatch, because the paint is made already. And now Mishnah, we're talking about to make the paint. To make the paint, a person's not going to make a small amount of paint, the shiur, to dye a small little swatch. When you're making the paint, a person, like the Gemara says, in Adam Toreyah, a person is not going to burden himself to make a mixture in order for such a small little insignificant measure. Therefore, for the making of the paint, meaning when you have the materials before the paint is made, then the shiur is the amount of paint or dye to be used to dye the small garment on the lady's hat. So that which is larger than the swatch. Again, Gemara is giving us two stages of the dyeing process. When you have the dye made already, then the shi'ud is what? Even a small amount. The amount that it would take to dye a swatch. However, when you're making the paint, like in our Mishnah, you have all the ingredients, then already it's larger measurement. Because a person is not going to occupy himself to make a mixture of paint unless he's going to dye something more significant, which is what? The beged that is on the lady's hat. That's the Gemara's answer. Comes the Gemara and continues, Meraglayim, the shi'ud of Meraglayim, which literally is urine. Tana, we have a braita, Meraglayim, ad ben mem yom, up and until 40 days old. The way the Tosafot learns that is, we're talking about from 3 days old to 40 days old. That's the, person that we got the urine from, but the age of the urine itself, from 3 to 40, has a certain pungency to it, and therefore has the ability to take out stains from garments, like the Gemara said. But less than 3 days old, or more than 40 days old, no. So the Mishnah that the Mishnah says, Meraglayim, is talking about Meraglayim has a hashivut to it. And what is that? Ad ben mem yom, up until 40 days, as the Tosfot said, but after 3 days. Comes the Gemara and says, Tana, we have a braita, neter alaksandrit, velo neter anpantrin. One of the detergents we mentioned was neter. So it seems that there were different types of neter. There was the neter that came from Alexandria, and the neter that came from Antipater. So the Gemara says, we're talking about neter Alexandrit. Seems that's the one that was able to get out these stains. That's the shi'ur of neter Alexandrit. Borit. Borit was another type of detergent. So the Gemara wants to know, what is this borit? Amar of Yehuda Zehol. This is referring to sand. Now, right away, Tosfot comes along and says, what are you talking about? How could it be referring to sand? We discussed in the earlier Mishnah, Daf Peh, that the Shi'ud of Hol was the amount to put in a spoonful of limestone, which means they used to add sand into actually the trowel of limestone. So therefore, now you're giving me a different shoe. Now you tell me the amount to clean a small garment. So the Tosafot comes along and says, it seems there's two types of chol. You have to say there's the chol that you put into the lime, and there's the chol that's used as a cleaning agent. This is the chol that you're using as a cleaning agent. Now the Gemara asks, Ve'atanya, but didn't we learn in the Braita, Haborit, Ve'achol, which means clearly the Braita lists them as two separate items. Borit is one thing, and chol is yet another thing. How could you tell me that they're synonymous? Ela my borit. Now the Gemara says, what is borit? Kavrita. Kavrita, Rashi tells us, is gofrit. Gofrit is sulfur. So the Gemara says, Metibe, we have a question. Hosifu alehen. Ha-chelbitzin, ve-ha-le'inun, ve-ha-borit, ve-ha-ahal. This Braita is referring to the laws of Shemitah. The Gemara says that the rabbis added these different type of herbs that are subject to the laws of Shemitah. And what are the herbs? So one of them is called halbisin, one of them is called le'inun, one of them is called borit. So borit, if you're learning it as sulfur, that means sulfur is subject to the law of Shemitah. So the Gemara says, how could that be? The isal kadadach kabrita, if you're telling me that borit is kabrita sulfur, kabrita mi'ita b'shevirit, is sulfur subject to the laws of Shemitah? Ve'atanya, didn't we learn in a braita? Ze'akla, we have a rule regarding Shemitah. Kol sheyesh lo ikar, yesh lo shevirit. U'she'en lo ikar, en lo shevirit. Only things that have roots are subject to the laws of Shemitah. Ikar is roots. But these items that don't have roots are not subject. Sulfur doesn't have roots. So how could you tell me that the borit is going to be considered sulfur, because we know that it's subject to Shemitah, and only things that have roots are subject to Shemitah? So the Gemara says, my borit, ahala. I say, you know what borit is? Ahala. Ahala is the aloe plant. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Va'atanya va'borit va'ahala. Yeah, but clearly the Braita by Shemitah said that Porit and Ahala aloe are subject to Shemitah. It's mashma that they're two separate items. So the Gemara says, Tregavne Ahala. You have to say there are two types of aloe. There's the regular standard aloe that's called Ahala, and then there's the Porit type of Ahala, and therefore the Braita lists both of them. Comes the Gemara and says, Kemulya. Kemulya was another type of detergent. Amar Rav Yehuda, Sheluf Dutz. The Gemara is giving us another name for Kemulya. We don't know exactly what it is. She just tells us, Lo it Paresh. And the Gemara didn't explain it, but Aval Kach Shemo. That is its name. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ashleg, again, another item that was used as a detergent. Amar Shemuel, Sha'eltinu lechol nachute yama. He said, I asked all the nachute yama, the seafarers, which is those people that travel on the water. Ve'amru li, and they told me the name of this ashleg is Shun'ana Shemeh. Umishtakah, where do you find it? Benugbad de Marganita. You find it in the hole of the pearls. Umafkele, and the way you extract it is Beramsa de Farzela, with a metal, an iron Ramsa. Ramsa would be like a fork or a nail, which means like with a metal utensil, a pointed utensil, you extract it from the inside of the pearl. And that was used again as a detergent in order to take out stains. Comes the new Mishnah and says, Pilpelet kolshehu. Pilpelet literally means a pepper. Now Rashi tells us, Ve'eno pilpel shelanu. It's not referring to the pepper that we have, because if it was the pepper that we have, already we discussed it in the last Mishnah. Mm-hmm. Pepper is a spice. And therefore we gave the shoot enough to spice a light egg. So therefore this must be talking about a different type of pilpil that's not used as a spice. Ve'itran, itran is literally, let's say like tar, or the pitch that has a bad smell to it. Kol shehu. So the shiur of that is even a small amount. Now we'll have to see in the Gemara what purpose does itran serve, that you're giving it a significant amount of a kol shehu. Mine besamim, different type of fragrant spices. Umine matechot, or different types of metals. Kol shehen. Again, the shiur is also a kol shehen. Now she tells us that the metal can be used as a small darban. A darban is usually like a, I think in English they call it a goad, that they use it to guide the animals. When the animal is going, it's like pointy, so it pricks the animal on the side in order to keep it straight and to go. So small metal can be used as a darban. Also, it can use to, you know, to hit the animal as well. Comes again by Mishnah and continues, Me'abne ha-mizbeyach. If one carries on Shabbat from the stones of the mizbeyach, of the altar, Me'afar ha-mizbeyach, for that matter, from the earth that is in the base of the mizbeyach, or Me'kak sefarim u'me'kak mitpechoteim kol shehu. What is mekak sefarim? So mekak is really the name of a type of worm. It's a bookworm that usually goes into the books and eats away at them. So they would call the pages of the sefarim that would get eaten by a bookworm mekak sefarim. Those items are significant even at the shoot of a kol shehu, because you have to put them in ginizah so that people would save these items. So therefore the shi'ud of books that were worn apart by bookworms, the shi'ud on Shabbat be a koshu, even the minutest amount, because since they're Kurdish and they have to be stored away in Ginizah, that's where they used to place you know, old books and manuscripts and things like that that wore out, they would place them in Ginizah. So therefore even a minimal amount is going to be hashuv. That's the same thing as mekak mitpechotehim. The mitpechot used to be the coverings that they used to place around the scrolls. They used to put like sheets around the scrolls to preserve them. Also, you don't have to come into, you know, direct contact with them. So the worms used to eat the mitpechot as well, these sheets over the scrolls. So therefore, these items also need to be placed in Ginizah, because they were serving the sefer. So therefore, they also have a shiur of a kolshu, as well as the stones of the mizbeach and the afar of the mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Biyuda comes along and teaches, Af amotzi mishamshei avodah zara. Even if somebody carries on Shabbat items that we use to serve the idols of avodah zara, kol shehu. The significant shoot is even a small amount. Shene emar velo yidbak biyadecha meuma menacherim. Torah says that you're not allowed to have anything of the spoils of Avodah Zarah, which is even anything, even the smallest amount, you have to get rid of. So then we see the Torah gives a hashivut to even a kol shehu of Avodah Zarah. Now it should be pointed out that if a person's carrying Avodah Zarah out on Shabbat, obviously he is not interested in carrying the Avodah Zarah for itself. He's only doing it in order because he wants to get rid of it. This would be considered a melacha she'ena tzedicha legufa. He doesn't need the avodah zarah per se. He wants to get rid of it. He's not carrying it from point A to point B because he wants it at point B. He wants to dispose of it. Now we know there's a great mahlok on the subject of melacha she'ena tzedicha legufa, if you're hayab or not. The opinion that says Yehayav is Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore it makes sense why Rabbi Yehuda would say that if somebody carries even a Kodshu of Avodah Zarah is going to be Hayav. This is in line with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda of Melachashin HaSenikha Legufa Hayav. Comes the Gemara now and expounds on the Mishnah that we just read. Pilpelet Kodshu. We said a pepper is the Shur of a Kodshu. Lemai Hazya. What is a pepper of kol shu? What is it worthy for? So Gemara says, L'reyach hapeh. It is worthy for bad breath. It seems they would place this small pepper in their mouth. Etran kol shu. So we said pitch, which is an item that has a very bad smell to it. Even the shiur of a kol shu is hayav on Shabbat. Gemara says, L'mai hazya. What is it worth? Gemara answers, L'silchata. What is silchata? That she says ke'ev hatzi arosh, for headaches in half the brain. That's like a migraine headache. So a person would, let's say, smell this item. So even a kol shu is medicinal, and everyone's considered hashuv. Mine besamim kol shen. For that matter, fragrant spices kol shen, even the smallest amount. Tanu rabbanan hamotzi reyachra. Kol shu. The person takes out an item with a bad smell, the shoot is a kol shu. Now what would a person do with a herb that has a bad smell? So that she says, Shemeashinin Bahem Cholin Vetinokot. Person would smoke them in order to heal sick people or children, Lavriyah Me'alav Mazikin, in order to chase away different demons or spirits from them. Seems that was a procedure that they used to use. So therefore, even herbs that have a bad smell to them have value. And the shiur is a kol shu, because they could serve as a medicine, so to speak, to cure these people. Now she gives an example of the spice, the sharp spice that's called heltit. Gemara continues, shemen tov kol shu. Person that takes out fragrant oil, so the shoe would be even a kol shoe. You understand that? There's value to that, because you can smell it. Argaman. Argaman is the purple dye that they use in order to color the wool. Kol shoe. And that shoe to be a kol shoe as well. Rashi does say that it seems that this purple dye, this herb, had a smell to it as well. And therefore, there was value even at the kol shihu level. Ubtula tavered achat. Now, vered literally means a rose. So that she says, ale shel vered bachur achat. Now, there's a different girsa on that word. They say, biyihur echad. Yihur means even one petal from a rose would be significant on Shabbat. Also, it seems it has a smell to it, and therefore even a petal from a rose would be chayav. Betulat averid achat. Comes the Gemara and continues. Mine matachot kolchen. Right? We said the shoot of metal on Shabbat to be chayav is even a kolshu. Gemara says, lemai hazu. What's the value of a kolshu of metal? Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Sheken Laui La'asot Memena Darban Katan. As we learned in the Mishnah, from a small piece of metal you're able to make a small goad in order to use to guide the animal. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Ha Omer, Hare Alai Barzel. If a person, let's say, makes a vow, and he says, I am going to donate iron to the Beit HaMikdash. It is incumbent upon me to make a donation of iron. So how much iron does he have to give to the Beit HaMikdash? He didn't specify it in his neder. So what is the measurement that is chayav? Achayrim omrim lo yifchot me'amma al amma. You have to give at least one amma by one amma of iron. An amma, let's say for argument's sake, is 2 feet. So 2 feet by 2 feet square of iron. So the Gemara says, "Lemay hazya." You know, what's the Beit HaMikdash? Can he do with such a shiur of iron? So the Gemara says, "Amar of Yosef lechalia orev."
for the item that you used to have on the roof of the Beit HaMikdash, Chalia Orev, is to get rid of the ravens. On the top of the Beit HaMikdash, they didn't want ravens sitting on the roof. So they used to make iron plates of, you know, the shiur of Amma al Amma, one Amma by one Amma, and they would place like thorns or sharp things coming out of it, like nails, in order that the ravens would not be able to sit on the roof. So therefore they would use this metal for the Chalya Orev to get rid of the ravens. The Beit Ishai points out that why were they so concerned, Davka, to get rid of ravens? So the Gemara says in a different place that ravens are a cruel bird. And therefore, the Beit HaMikdash was a place of peace and a place of shalom and a place of compassion and mercy. It wouldn't be proper that the Beit HaMikdash we have on its roof from the cruel birds. It's just like in the, making the Mizbeah. We're not allowed to use any sharp instruments that are made out of metal, because metal takes away the life of people when you make ammunition, knives out of it. So the Mikatzer, the one that shortens life, should not be involved in building the Mizbeah that lengthens life. So the same logic over here, we don't want the Beit HaMikdash to become a resting place for the ravens that are cruel, when the Beit HaMikdash's purpose is to bring the Hamim. Mika Da'amri, this is another version of the same piece that we just read. Acharim Omrim Lo Yifchot Mechalya Orev. They put the Chalya Orev as the first shiur, which means the shiur of a person makes a neder to donate iron to the Beit HaMikdash, the shiur is to make the chaser of the ravens. Vekama, and how much is that? Amar Rav Yosef, Amma al Amma. The shiur is one Amma by one Amma. Nechoshet, if a person makes a neder to the Beit HaMikdash that is going to donate copper, lo yifchot mima'a kesef. Okay, he should give the amount of copper in order to reach the shiur of a ma'a of kesef. The value of nechoshet of a ma'a's worth of kesef. Comes Gemara and says, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Now they might change that. Let's just double check the Girsaot here. Right, some say it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Lo yifchot mitzinura ketana shel nechoshet. Tzinura literally is like a fork. The amount of copper that would be used in a small fork. So the Gemara says, Lemai Hazya, what would they use a small copper fork for in the Beit HaMikdash? Says Amar Abaye, Shemehatetin by the Petilot. First of all, you use it to, literally that she says, Shemehutin bo Petilot. I guess to use the fork somehow in making the wicks, to able to maybe comb them.
Trim.
What is that?
Trim them.
Trim them, okay. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Umenakibim rashehim." You know, they trim the heads of the wicks with them, li'iduyeh, to make them nice. So Gemara says, "Umekanchin anerot," and you're also able to use the fork in order to clean out the nerot, the receptacles that they had the oil and wick in. So there is a value even for a small copper fork in the Beit HaMikdash. Comes the Gemara and continues. Mekak sefarim umekak mitpechot. So this is referring to the bookworms that used to eat up the Sefrei Kodesh. Now we're not putting the bookworms, obviously, we're not giving them a shi'ur, but we're talking about the sefarim themselves that got eaten by the bookworms. The shi'ur of Shabbat would be a kol shi'ur. Why? Because they're subject to the law of Giniza, because they have a hashuv shiur to them. So now the Gemara is going to discuss different types of worms. The Gemara says, Mekak Amar Yehuda, Mekak the Sefre. The worm of the books is called a Mekak. Techach the Shira'e. The silkworm is called a Techach. Ve'ila de Inbe. The worm that goes into the grapes is called Ila. Upe de Te'ene. The peh is the worm that goes into the figs. Veha de rimone. It is the ha worm that goes into the pomegranates. Kolehu sakanta. You should know all these things are dangerous. They can be fatal if somebody ingests these worms. Hahu talmidat havayativ kamed Rabbi Yohanan. There was a certain student that was sitting in front of Rabbi Yohanan. Hava ka'achil te'ene. So the student was eating figs. Amarle. So he told the rabbi to be kotsin yesh b'te'enim. He said, wow, feels like I just ate a thorn. There's thorns in these figs. Amarle. So the rabbi told me, Yohanan told the student, katle peh leden. The peh worm just killed this man. Which means that's what he was feeling over there. He ate the worm. Now, if you look at the Girsaot, some take out the word amarle. Because wouldn't it be proper for the Yohanan to tell the student, you know, you just died, or you just got killed, you're going to die now from the worm. This is the Yohanan just said it, you know, to himself, that this is what just happened over here. He didn't check the fig before he ate it for worms, and therefore he swallowed the worm inside, and it became fatal. Comes the Mishnah. New Mishnah continues. Hamotzi kupat harochlin. Afalpi sheyesh ba minim harbe eno hayav ela hatat achat. What is kupat arochlin? Rochlin literally means peddlers. The kupat arochlin would mean like their box. The box of the peddlers, they used to have different smaller boxes with different things that they would sell. Different herbs and different items. Besamim, etc. that they would sell. So you only hayav one hatat, which means we don't consider each item, the spices, the besamim, the other trinkets that are inside, we don't consider each one separate, and therefore you're going to be hayav many hatat. The fact that they're all collected in one box, and somebody takes out the whole box of the peddlers on Shabbat, is going to be one hatat for taking out the kupa, for taking out the box itself. Now the Mishnah discusses a subject we discussed earlier in the Perakim, the shi'ud of seeds, that one is going to be hayab. What is the significant shi'ud? So Gemara says, Zer'une gina, the seeds that are used to plant in a garden, pachot mecher gerogeret. So the shi'ud of seeds, the Hakamim's opinion is less than the size of a fig. Now normally we learn that anything that has to relate with food is the shi'ud of a gerogeret. Seeds is to plant food. So why is the shi'ud less? So Rashi tells us, De'afal gav, de'chola ochlin shi'ud anki gerogeret. Haneh kevandil zi'a kaimeh, befahot mechi gerogeret, nameh mechayim. These items are not yet ready for consumption. These items are for planting purposes. So therefore we take the stringent shi'ur even less, which means we learned that if you have an item that has two prevalent functions, for example, seeds can be used for eating, you can eat seeds, but you can also use them for planting. Both are considered shi'ah, both are considered prevalent. So then it depends now what you're using it for. If you're using it for zini'ah, so then already we take the less shi'ud. If you're using it for achilah, then you take the lenient shi'ud. There should be a gerogeret. So it depends what you're using the seeds for. Since these seeds are being used not for eating, they're being used for planting, so it is a less shi'ud. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tera omer hamisha. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tera says the shi'ud is five seeds. Now, it's a machloket I learned of Rabbi Yehuda. Some say he's arguing on Tana Kama, and some say no, he's explaining how much seeds makes up pachot me gerogeret. He's saying the shi'ud would be five seeds. Comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah continues, Zela Kishu'im, Shnayim. That's the seeds of cucumbers, so two seeds already are considered significant. That she says Hashuvu. That's considered a very significant item, seeds of cucumbers, and therefore you're going to be Hayab even on two seeds if you carry them. Zera dilu'in shenayim. Tenorin is like squash or pumpkin seeds. Shnayin. Zera ful ha-misri, that's the ful, the beans from Egypt. Shnayim, also bihayav, two. This is also an important item. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Hagav hay tahor kol shehu. Met kegerogeret. The person takes out a live kosher grasshopper on Shabbat. What is the shi'ur of significant? Kol shehu. Even a grasshopper, the smallest size. Met, however, if it died, then the shi'ur is a gerogeret. Now, what is the value of a live grasshopper? So that she says, no, you give it to your child to play with. And that was a toy in the olden days. Now, that's why the shi'ur is a kol shehu. However, when it dies, you don't give it to your child to play with. When it dies, it becomes food. And therefore, what's the yeshua of food? Gerogeret. So therefore, the Mishnah says, met, kegerogeret. Siporet keramim. Rashi doesn't tell us what it is here, but the Gemara is going to explain. This is another type of grasshopper. It's not a bird. It's called siporet, like one that flies. Keramim. Okay? Ben haya ben meta, whether it's alive or whether it's dead, the shi'ur is called shi'ur. Why? Shematzniin ota lirfu'ah, because this grasshopper had medicinal value. So therefore, whether it's alive or dead, the shi'ur would be a called shi'ur. The Gemara will explain what it was used for. Rabbi Yehuda omer, af amotzi hagav hay tameh kol shi'ur. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only a kosher grasshopper is the shi'ur a kol shehu, but even a non-kosher grasshopper, the shi'ur is a kol shehu. Why? Shematzni'in oto lekatan l'shokbo. Because you'll give it also to your child to play with as a toy. Now why did the rabbis then say only a kosher grasshopper? Because they say the father won't give a non-kosher grasshopper to his child to play with, because he might come to eat it. And therefore it's not considered significant. So we have a machloket, Tana Kamal de Bihuda, why is shi'ur of a non-kosher grasshopper? Bihuda comes along and says, kosher, because again it has a function. Hakamim say, no. Comes the Gemara and says, Udminhi, we have a contradiction. Zebel vechol hadak. We learned earlier that what is the minimum shiur of fertilizer? Or chol hadak is the thin sand which is also used as fertilizer. What's the minimum shiur to be hayav on Shabbat? Kedele zebel kelach shel kruv. The amount in order to fertilize one stalk of cabbage. The rabbi said, in order to fertilize one, one leek. So now we just learned what? That the shi'ur of significant by seeds is five seeds. Here you're telling me even one cabbage has significant. Again, what's the minimum shi'ur of seeds to be hayab? We learned in the Mishnah. The Bibuda said five seeds. So you see what? Five seeds is the minimum hashivut. However, when it came to fertilizer, we said the amount of fertilizer, even to fertilize one cabbage, that's mashma, even one seed is considered hashuv. So the Gemara answers, Amar Papam, we had this earlier, Had zariya, had lo zariya. Depends what stage you're at. Meaning, once it's planted already, then even one stalk of cabbage is considered hashuv. However, before you plant, no one's going to plant one seed. A person is not going to toil himself to plant one seed. So in the planting stage, the minimum shiur would be, let's say, is five seeds, as we said. Comes the Gemara and continues. Zera kishu'in. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamotzi gar'inin. If a person is taking out on Shabbat, he's carrying gar'inin. As she says, this is specifically referring to the pits of a date. Gar'ine temara. Im linti'a. If the purpose of carrying them is in order to plant them.
So then the shiur is what? Shtayim. Which means if these are worthy to plant, which means they're plantable seeds, so then the shiur is two. Im la'achila, but if the purpose is to eat them, so then already kimlo pihazir. Then the shiur is the amount to fill the mouth of the hazir of a pig. V'chama male pi hazir. How many pits of the date can fit in the mouth of a hazir? So the Gemara says, ahat, one. Comes the Gemara and says, im le'asik, if the purpose of these pits of the dates are for fuel, kedeh le'bashel metzakala. So then the amount that it would take the fuel to cook an egg. Im le'hishbon, if you're using the pits for calculations, what type of calculations would they use? When a person was counting his money, so let's say he put his money into stacks. Mm-hmm. So each stack, he put a pit of a date to indicate one stack. Mm-hmm. Let's say he'd make, you know, bundles of $1,000, for example, right? So every 1,000, he'd put one pit on the side to know how many stacks he has. So it's im le'hishbon shtayim. The minimum shiur for hashbon is a guy doesn't need to remember one stack. The minimum shiur is if he has two. Aharim omrim hamesh. Aharim say no. If two also is not a significant issue. That up to four, a guy can remember it without making any siman. But once he's making five bundles of money, then already he employs the method of using the pits in order to count and keep tally of how much bundles he has. So again, we saw different shiurim of the pits of dates depending on what they are for. Let's review. If they're for a planting, so shiur is two. If they're for eating, the shiur is like kimlo pi hazir. If they're for fuel, so it's the amount of fuel for the eggs. And if they're for tallying purposes, we have a machlok at either two or five. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Hamotzi shne nimin mizanav asus mizanav apara hayav. The person carries two hairs from the tail of a horse or from the tail of a cow, hayav. It's going to be hayav. Now what in the world does he do with these hairs? Shematzni'in otan l'nishbin. He uses it to make, Rashi says, nets in order to trap birds. Miksha shel hazir achat. Miksha shel hazir, Rashi says, are the pointy hairs that are on the back of a pig. So the shiur is one. Now what does he use that for? So that she says he would use it as a needle, so to speak, in the weaving process. It seems to have the sharpness and the stiffness in order to use it like a needle. Sure dekel is peeled, she says, peeled palm leaves. So what would they do with these items? She says they would use them to make baskets. So the minimum shoot is shtayim. I guess you need two in order to make the initial weave. Ture dekel achat. That she says, those are the thin leaves of the palm. Actually, that she says it was like a string, a thin string that was wrapped around the palm tree. It's called sieve. So then already, one of these items, what are they useful for? Well, as she says, lo yadati lemai hazeh. He doesn't know exactly what their function is, but the minimum shiur would be one. Comes the Gemara and continues, tziporet keramim. Tziporet keramim, ben haya, ben meta, kolshu. I just was referring to this type of grasshopper that we said, whether it's alive or dead, the shiur is a kolshu. Gemara says, "My tziporet keramim, Amar Rav, Playa Biari." That's the name of it. And she says, "Kach shemo." Amar Rabaye, umishtakach. Where do you find this item? Bidikla dehad nabara. You find it, as she says, in a young palm that hasn't been wrapped yet
with that sieve, with that string that wraps around the tree. It only has one wrapping of sieve around. I mean, it's a young palm tree that only has one wrapping of sieve around it. That's where you find this grasshopper in such a tree. Bedeklad dehad navara, in a palm that has one, you know, wrapping of sieve around it. Now, what do you do with this item? Ve'avdila lechokhma. It's used to enhance wisdom. If you eat it, it gives a person smarts. Achile lefalga dimina ufalga dismale ramele begufta denchasha ve'atim la beshetin gushpanke. The Gemara says, you eat the right side of it. You take the grasshopper. I'm reading again the words over here. The achile lefalga dimina. You eat the right half of the grasshopper. And what do you do with the left half of it? Upalga dismala on the left half. Ramela begufta den hasha. You put it in a copper tube. The chatim la, and you seal it. You seal it with 60 seals. Now the Hakamim point out it doesn't mean 60. We learned this earlier. You put tar on it and wax on it and different type of sealants to keep, make sure it doesn't come out. Of course it's dead, but the point is that nobody can take it out. You hang that copper tube over your left hand. This is a sigula. How are you going to remember how to do this? So the Gemara says, "V'simanach." We'll give you a siman to remember it. Lev hacham limino, ve'lev kesil lismolo, which means lev hacham lismolo limino. Which means the wise man goes to the right, which means you eat the right half of the grasshopper for chokmah, and lev kesil lismolo. But you place the other half what? On the left hand. Obviously, this is a certain type of sigula that would bring wisdom. Yeah, lev kesil literally means that kesil is an imbecile. So lev kesil, the imbecile, what does he do? He puts the item on his left hand. That's part of the process. So that's the way you remember that it goes on the left hand. Comes again and says, v'hakim kamad debaye, and he'll become wise if he does this as much as he wants. It'll give him a tremendous amount of wisdom. Vegamar kamad debaye, and he'll be able to learn and retain as much as he wants, which will give him a fantastic memory. Veachile liidach palga, and then after you finish, you have to eat the other half. You have to eat the other half that's in the tube. Deilo, if he doesn't, meakar talmudo, he's going to forget his learning. So the end of the process is you have to eat the whole thing. Comes the Gemara and concludes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afam Motzi. Tana, Rabbi Yehuda said, even somebody that carries on Shabbat a non-kosher grasshopper is Hayav. Why? So he explained, Rabbi Yehuda says, because a fellow will give it to his child to play with, and the shoot is even a kosher, even the smallest amount. V'tana kama savar lo. But Tana Kama says, no, my Tama, what's the reason? Dilma achile. Because we're concerned that what? Maybe the child is going to eat it. As she says, now, what's the problem? He's a katan. He's a minor. So that she says, v'afilu leman damar katan ochen nebelot, which is even according to the opinion that says that if a katan, a minor, is eating something that's not kosher, in bedin mitzvin alav lafrisho, bedin does not have an obligation to stop the kid. Modehu delo yavin alei biyadayim. But everybody agrees you can't give it to the kid, which is you might not have an obligation to stop him, but to go give it to him biyadayim. So that's a suit. So the rabbis say you can't give the kid a not kosher grasshopper to play with it, because that's tantamount to giving it to him to eat, and he might come to eat it. So the Gemara says, yeah, if that's the logic of the rabbis, Tahor Nameh, you shouldn't be allowed to give him a kosher grasshopper either. Why? Because Rav Kana was in front of Rav.
Baba kama'abir sushiba apumeh. Rav Kana was about to put a sushiba in his mouth. Sushiba is a kosher grasshopper. It was alive. Amar leh, so Rav told him, shekleh, take it out of your mouth. Delo limru mechal ka'achile. The people are going to think you're eating it over here. Veka'avar mishum bal teshakesu et nafshotechem. You're going to transgress the surah bal teshakesu, which means you know how to do things that are disgusting or abominable. Which means the rabbi was saying it's forbidden also to eat it when it's live, even though it's tahor, but to eat a live grasshopper, even if it's kosher, is forbidden because of bat shaksu. It's a disgusting thing. And therefore the rabbi should say you shouldn't be able to give a live grasshopper to a kid as well for the same gezerah. The kid might come and eat it. Let's read Rashi for a second. Ihaki tahor. Hi, named Dilma Achille. We worry that he might eat it. Now Rashi says, "V'imishum de'embo isur Evan Menachai." Now we're not worried about Evan Menachai over here, because Evan Menachai is only on an item that you have to make shechita on, and you eat it alive, you're subject to Evan Menachai. A grasshopper is not subject to the laws of shechita. So the law over here, we're not worried that he might eat it alive and now transgress Evan Menachai. That she says the hagav en taun shechita. However, eat bem miyah mishum bat teshakesu. But the issue is you have the bat teshakesu issue. So the Gemara says ela. So the issue is like this: dilma mayit veachile, which means that she explains that the issue of why the rabbis forbade to give the child the tameh, the non-kosher grasshopper, is not because we're worried that he might eat it alive. When it's alive, he's going to play with it. The concern was that it might die. And if it might die, then the child will eat it. If that's the gezerah, so there's no problem when it's a kosher one. Because we don't suspect that he's going to eat it when it's alive, because he'll play with it. What? It might die. If it dies, it's permissible to eat the kosher grasshopper. So we change the gezerah a little. The reason, again, for the rabbis why they don't allow to give a non-kosher grasshopper to the child is why? Not because he might come to eat it. He's not going to eat it, he's going to play with it when it's alive. So what's the concern? It might die. Oh, after it dies, he might eat it. Good. If that's the gezerah, then by a kosher grasshopper doesn't apply. Because when it's alive, he's not going to eat it because he's going to play with it. Right. So no problem about the shekesu. When it dies, let him eat it. Mm-hmm. It's permissible. Oh, so then the question is, according to the Biyuda, so the Gemara says, which means, Hakamim are concerned when the non-kosher grasshopper dies, what's going to happen? He might eat it. What does the Biyuda say? The Biyuda allows to give the non-kosher grasshopper. So the Gemara says, Biyuda, he might eat. If the non-kosher grasshopper dies, what's the kid going to do? Katan mispad sapidla. The child's going to give eulogies on it. Which means the child's upset. He's not going to eat it now. His toy just broke. So therefore, he's not going to eat the animal, the grasshopper now. So therefore, he's not worried about the child eating it. Therefore, he says, even a non-kosher grasshopper, the shooter's a kolchu, because she will give it to a child. Hadran alach amar Rabbi Akiva. Amen.